Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Sota is daf Yud. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is one of the Zechanin Shmuel by Gabriela Bashmuel. Okay, entire day today dedicated to the topic of Shimshon. Should have assigned this for homework last night. Okay, apologies. Okay, okay, it's too late, but I'll say it anyway. Okay, go over Chazer the 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th Prakim of Sefer Shoftim. It ends in 16. So anyway, so there's four Prakim to know in Sefer Shoftim. Yud Gimel is Manoach, Eshes Manoach. That one I think we have more familiarity with because it's one of the Haftoros. And then after that, the life of Shimshon, Perek Yudalet, Tezvav and Tezayin, the life of Shimshon, life and death of Shimshon. So a lot to discuss. I'm not a Navi expert. I'm not even sure if, you know, what's right below expert? No, whatever. Anyway, so I have a basic knowledge of the Navi, so I don't know. I'm not a specialist. I'm not whatever. Anyway, you'll see. I know enough to get through the daf today. You know, my knowledge of Navi. This is such a terrible admission, but my knowledge of Navi comes through the Gemara. So I should know Navi better. Okay, good. Now I give myself muster. Let's go. We did the Mishnah yesterday. Okay, I'll just run through the Mishnah again. I know we're behind, but let's run through the Mishnah again as it begins the whole topic of today's Gemara. Shimshon, we're on the Mishnah on Tesamud Bey. Shimshon halach achareina alafichach nikru plishim etzeinav. So again, the theme of the Mishnayos, or the Mishnah I should say, this is the last Mishnah of the Perek. The theme of the Mishnayos is Mida keneged Mida, measure for measure. So the Sota is the prototype of Mida keneged Mida, and so therefore it allowed the Mishnah an opportunity to speak a little bit more about Mida keneged Mida, and it's going to allow the Gemara a lot of opportunity to speak about this topic. But in the meantime, Shimshon was halach achreinav, so therefore nikru plishim etzeinav, the plishim gouged his eyes out. Shenemar v'yachzu plishim v'nekru etzeinav. V'yesh Avshalom nitga'e b'saro. Avshalom adorned his hair. L'fichach nit l'b'saro. Therefore he was hung by his hair. L'fisha ba al esther pilaksho aviv. L'fichach nasnu bo esther lun v'yos. And as a result of the fact that he had relations with 10 of the pilakshim of his father, so he was stabbed, he was speared 10 times. Shenemar v'yizbu asara nashim nosei kli yoav. U'l'fisha ganav gimel ganavos. And he stole three hearts. And three hearts that he stole was lev aviv, lev beizim, lev yisroel. Part of his father, that of Beis Din, that of the Jewish people. L'fich nitku bo gimel shvatim. He was pierced in the heart three times. Shenemar v'yikach shlosha shvatim bekapo. V'yit ka'im b'lev of shalom. And the spears went right into his heart. V'chein l'inyin atova. And now this is not only work in the bad, it works for the good. Miriam himtina l'moshe sha'achas. Miriam waited a little bit of time for Moshe as he was going down the river. Shenemar v'titatev achosom irachok. L'fichach nitakvu la yisol zayin yamim b'midbar. The Jewish people waited for 7 days in the desert. Shenemar v'am lo nasa ad ha'asaf he'asef Miriam. They waited until Miriam 7 days. And I pointed this out yesterday. I'll just reiterate it again. It's an important point. And that is, you see that when it comes to Ra, it's measure for measure. When it comes to Tova, not necessarily. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives more than the measurement. So it certainly seems so for Miriam. Yosef zachal likbor tzaviv ve'ein ba'achiv gadol mimene shenemar v'yal Yosef likbor tzaviv v'yalu imo gam rechev gam prashim. Yosef was the one responsible for burying his father. Milano gadomi Yosef shalonin tasek ba'olam Moshe. Now who's going to bury Yosef? So the Gemara says it's going to be Moshe. Moshe zacha ba'atmos Yosef ve'ein b'yisrael gadol mimenu. And nobody was greater than Moshe. So just like Yosef was the greatest to take care of his father. And that's not me saying that. It's the Mishnah saying it. And so Moshe was the greatest and he took care of Yosef. Shenemar v'yikach Moshe esatmos Yosef imo. Mi gadol mimoshe shalon itasek bo. As we pointed out yesterday. Who's going to take care of Moshe? Who's going to bury Moshe? So who's going to be greater than Moshe? So Elam Malkum Shenemar v'yikbor so begai. Lo am Moshe b'vara. And Kadosh Baruch Hu took care of Moshe, and he takes care of all the tzaddikim as well. I pointed out yesterday, Rabbeinu Bachya and Chumash, which could be an explanation of this Mishnah, in that Kadosh Baruch Hu is more involved in the death of tzaddikim than the rest of us.
Why did they mention
Avram? I'm just in the middle of one thought. We say it in Halal. Yakar Hashem Einav Hamavsa L'Chasidav. Right? It's However, you want to translate yakar, but yakar usually means it's precious. Meaning mafsal chasidav, when Yakarish Baruch Hu takes the death, takes the life of its tzaddikim, it's precious in his eyes. Yakarish Baruch Hu is more involved. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, why didn't
he
give the example of Aaron too? I mean, he had.
Okay, good, right. And Miriam also. Okay. Tana Rabbana Shimshon Be'inav Marad. So now, as the Mishnah introduces us to the topic of Shimshon, so the Gemara is going to do more than just an introduction. We're going to really get into the Psukim as it relates to Shimshon. Shenem Ravayamah Shimshon El Aviv Kach Li. I skipped an important word. Osa Kach Li Ki Hi Yishara Be'inai. Okay, so Shimshon pointed, took his father out, pointed to one particular woman and said, that's it. That's the one I'd like to marry. Okay. So, now she was the beginning of Perek Yudalet. Perek Yudgimel is the birth of Shimshon. Right? Eshes Manoach. Again, that one we're all more familiar with. Perek Yudalet is the beginning of Shimshon's life. So I'm just going through some basic psukim. Vayeri Shimshon Timnasa, he goes down to Timnah. Come up later this morning, the city of Timnah should sound familiar. Yehuda, Tamar, Timnah. Okay, we'll come back to that, we'll come to that later. Vayar Isha b'Timnasa mibnos plishtim. So he sees a girl in Timnah who is mibnos plishtim. Vayal vayel aviv lima vayamar Isha isi b'Timnasa mibnos plishtim v'ata kachu osali l'isha. And so he demands from his parents that's who he wants to marry. I'm just going through the basic psukim. So the parents say to their son, you know, there are a lot of nice Jewish girls out there. You want to take that into for someone from Bnos Plishtim? And he says, no, this is the right one. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Yisuri Biyah. It's a good context for all this. That don't think for a moment that Shimshon, who was Moshe Yisrael, who was the savior of the Jewish people, don't think he didn't convert them. He converted all of them. The pasuk doesn't mention it. The Rambam therefore has to mention it. But the Perek, it's either Perek Yudgimel or Perek Yudal. I apologize. I'm going by memory. It's either Perek Yudgimel or Perek Yudal in Hilchos Yisuri Biyah. The Rambam makes a general assumption that he was Megayer all these women. Okay, back to our Psukim, back to our Gemara. Sorry. Lefichach nikru plishtim esainav. So as a result of that, so the plishtim gouged out his eyes. Shenemar v'yachzu plishtim v'nekru esainav. So the Gemara says now, all this was orchestrated by Kadosh Baruch Hu. So says the Navi. It says in Sefer Shoftim that all this was orchestrated by Kadosh Baruch Hu. So although it sounded like a strange request, but meanwhile, the Navi says that Kadosh Baruch Hu did this. So the question the Gemara is basically asking is, why did Shimshon get punished if all this is coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu? So the Gemara says, Ki azal, mia basar yashusei azal. So the Gemara says, yeah, but it's true, but when Shimshon was doing it, he was doing it out of what he felt was correct. Meaning that on his own volition, he did so, even though it was orchestrated by Kadosh Baruch Hu, but he also had his own input in which he wanted to do this as well. Tanya, the Gemara continues, Rabbi Amar Tchilas Kilkolo Ba'aza L'Ficha Chlaka Ba'aza. So the first time that Shimshon really stumbled was in the town of Aza, and therefore his downfall took place in Aza. Again, Mida Keneged Mida, that's the theme of today. Tchilas Kilkolo Ba'aza D'Chzi Vayelech Shimshon Azasa Vayasha Misha Zona. He went to Aza, and he married an Isha Zona. L'Ficha Chlaka Ba'aza, and as a result of that, he was destroyed. His downfall was in Aza. D'Chzi Vayudu Aso Azasa. They took him down to Aza. V'Akzi Vayeri Shimshon Timnasa Tchilas, I'm sorry, Timnasa. So the Gemara says, you know, I just read the beginning of Perek Yudalet. Perek Yudalet is really the beginning of Shimshon's life. And he married a girl from who was a plishti, and it was in Timnah. So it's a little bit strange that the Gemara is pointing to his descent into Aza, where his descent into Aza only takes place later on. Okay. So the Gemara says, Vayeri Shimshon Timnasa, Tchilas Kilkolo Mia Ba'azaya. Sorry, I'm sorry. V'akzi Vayeri Shimshon Timnasa, Tchilas Kilkolo Mia Ba'azaya. So the Gemara says, look, in Timnah, at least they were married, meaning he took her as a wife. Right, Rashi says, Rashi on the Gemara. But Tchilas Kilkolo Mia Ba'azahava Da'ahi Timnas Lav Kilkol Hu Kulei Hai Shalakhalo Leisha V'lo Ba'aleha Biznus. At least the woman he married in Timnah, he married. Okay, so it wasn't so bad. Masha'en kein and Azah, so there he was mezaneh. Moving along throughout the prakim, throughout the psukim, we get to the most famous of the wives. She's named, and that is Delilah. The Gemara says, that as the Gemara often does regarding names, Tanya, Rebbe Omer, Il Male Nikra Shma Delilah, Ruya Haisa Shetikra Delilah. Had her name not been Delilah, you know what her name would have been? Delilah. Meaning, apropos. Dildala is Kocha Dildala Slibo Dildala Masav. She cut off. The word Dildala means to cut off. You see it in the Gemara all the time regarding amputation, right? The Gemara uses the word dildo. So the dildolas kocha dildolas libo dildolas matzav. Cut his strength, cut his heart, cut his actions. And the Gemara goes through all three. Dildolas kocha dichsi vayisar kocha me'alav. Removed his strength from him. The Navi says. Dildolas libo dichsi vatera delila ki gid la es kol libo. It's kol libo. And she stole his heart, basically got him to admit what exactly the source of his strength was. And also remove the shechina. Okay. Vater delila ki gila as kol libo. Mina yada. Now, if you know the Navi well, you'll know that she didn't successfully get the information out of him the first time. It took 4 times for Delilah to get the right information out of him in terms of what the source of his strength is. So at the fourth time, Delilah said, okay, now I got the good information. How did she know? To which the Gemara says, Minaya Adam, Rabbi Chinin, I'm a Rebbe, Nikarin Devrei Emes. So first the Gemara gives us a big yesod, and that is, truth is discernible, self-evident. Okay.
The fact that Shimshon's hair was so long was on, it's fairly
obvious. Okay, right. And that. Abaye Amar Yadabo, also she also knows regarding the Tzaddik Shimshon that he would not say Shem Hashem for no reason. Kevin da Amar Nazir Lakimani, right? In the fourth go around when he finally tells her that he's a Nazir. So, Nazir Elokimani, he uses the word Elokim. Amar Hashavade Kushta Kamar, at that point in time, she realized, okay, now he's telling the truth. So the Gemara says that she kept pushing him, vata al tsehu. An unusual word, the Gemara looks to understand what that means. My vata al tsehu, I'm Rabbi Yitzchak debei Rabbi Ami b'shaskum Rabbi An nishmata mitachtav. At the end of Bia, so she kind of slipped out, and to make it more uncomfortable for him, so that he would finally reveal the truth. By the way, just as a parenthetical note, there are going to be a lot of indelicate Gemaras coming up today as it relates to Shimshon. The Gemara is not prudish at all in terms of disseminating this information. We're backing up now. We're going to back to Perek Gimel, where Manoach Eshes Manoach are given instructions how to raise his child. And they're told, make sure that he does not drink wine, and al tochlu kol tamei, don't give him things which are not kosher. So my kol tamei, that's a strange request made by the malach to the parents of Shimshon. V'su ad hashad dvarim tamein ka'achla. And as far as Eshes Manoach, does that mean that her diet at that point in time consisted of non-kosher food? That's very strange. The Gemara suggests. Am Rav Yitzchak debei Rabbi, Ami dvarim ha'asurim bin nazir. The Gemara gives a wonderful pshat. And that is that Devarim Tamei means, for you and I would be fine, but we're not Nazir. Shimshon's going to be a Nazir. So therefore, for him, wine constituted Devarim Tamei. Vayivaka Elokim Asamachtesh. Asher Belechi. Years ago, I visited the Machtesh in Eretz Yisrael. Anyone been there? It's a big crater. Okay. The answer is yes. The Gemara over here describes the Machtesh. The Machtesh mentioned over here has to do with the jaw of the donkey. The end of Perek Tezvav. Okay, the jaw of the donkey, I think that one everyone's familiar with. He killed 1,000 Plishtim with the jaw of the donkey. At the end of Perek Tezvav. The next part of the story, however, perhaps we need a little refresher. Vayitzma ma'od. This is the end of Perek Tes Vav. I'm starting from Pasuk Yud Ches. Vayitzma ma'od ve'yikra l'Hashem ha'yomer atah nasati bi'arevdecha ha'sechua ha'gedol ha'zos ve'atah amutz b'tzama. But then he was dying of thirst, literally dying of thirst. Ve'nafalti bi'ad ha'arelim. So he petitioned the Kadosh Baruch Hu for some drink. Vayivka lokim ha'samachteish. So what the Kadosh Baruch Hu did is he opened up the jaw of the bone of the donkey, asher belechi ve'yatzu mimenu mayim, and water comes out of the bone of the donkey. Vayesh v'tashav ruchov yichi al kein karashma ein hakorei asher belechi ad hayom hazeh. And because of this miracle, so the place was named after the miracle. The Gemara to this point now makes the following remark. Vayivka lokim ha'samachteish asher belechi amar yitzchak debei Rabbi Ami hu ival dvar tamei. He wanted something which was prohibited to him, meaning the non-Jewish women that he married. Again, he was megayer them, he was not megayer them, but in other words, as his parents pointed out, you know, why aren't you interested in Jewish girls? So as a result of that, so his life was on life support because of that which came out of the donkey, the davar tamei. V'tachavru Hashem v'chulei. There was a chalos of the nevu of Yaakov. So when Yaakov gives his bracha to his son Dan, and you see Rashi over there in the Chumash, it's obviously in Parshas Vayichi and the Sefer Bereishis. So you see Rashi over there. Every one of the brachas that Yaakov gives to Dan is really for Shimshon. Shimshon was the most famous Danite, so to say. So Yehi Dan Nachash Alei Derech Lefamo B'Machane Dan. Okay, I'm Rav Yitzchak Debei Rabbi Ami Malam Chayis Hashchina Mekashkesh Lefanav Kizug. The Shechina rang in front of Shimshon like a bell. In other words, he had nevuah. Okay, just like the Kohen Gadol when he was wearing his begadim, so it produces a sound. So too, the Shechina was audible to Shimshon. Bein zira ubein eshtaol. Okay, last pasuk in Perek Yud Gimel. Last words of Perek Yud Gimel. Right, the Navi says v'techal ruch Hashem lefa'amo b'machanedan. That the beginning of Ruach Hashem in the tribe of Dan, Bein Sarah, Ubein Eshta'ol, between Sarah and Eshta'ol. So the Gemara on this comments, Shnei Arim Gedolim Hayu, V'akron Shimshon V'tachnan Zebezeh. There were two great mountains, and Shimshon took them, and he ground them one against the other. On the simplest level, the Gemara is obviously talking about the strength of Shimshon and how powerful he was. The expression of Tachnan Zebezeh, ground them one to another, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, just giving you an example, the Gemara in Sanhedrin describes how Reish Lakish and Ramey were such great Talmid Chachamim that they took mountains and they grounded them one against the other. So this is an expression the Gemara uses usually to describe someone who's a Talmid Chacham. In the context of Shimshon, in the context of the Pasuk, it makes perfect sense because it describes how he had Ruach Hashem. I'm Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanino. We are now on the top of Daf Yud Amud Aleph. Hu Chal Shvoso Shel Avi Melech. The Gemara gives another pshat in the pasuk. Again, the pasuk starts off. This is the last pasuk of Perek Yud Gimel. Vatachel Ruach Hashem Lefamo. So Vatachel. The Gemara's first pshat was there was a chalos, meaning the bracha that Yaakov gave to Dan is now taking effect. That was one pshat. The Gemara is now saying another pshat. Hu Chal from the word batel. Meaning chulin, meaning there was a pact that we, the Jewish people, made with the Plishtim. And this goes all the way back to Avram Avinu, last week's Parsha. 2 weeks ago already. No, last week. I take it back. So Avram Avinu made a shvua together with Avimelech. And the shvua was for us, for our children, for our grandchildren. And that the shvuah is no longer. Hu chal shvuah shel Avimelech techsiv im tishkor li l'nini l'nachdi. So that is the way to understand the end of Perek Yud Gimel. And now that the pact is gone and the pact is broken, so now we're back to warfare between us and the Plishtim. Vaygdal anar ve'vachel Hashem b'ma berchu. So the child grows up and Akash Baruch Hu blesses the child. And how does Akash Baruch Hu bless the child? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Shebaruch Hu ba'amaso. So he was given a special koach in terms of his male organ. So the Gemara says, Amasokiv ne'adam v'zaro k'nachoshotev. The Gemara is even more detailed. The Gemara says that anatomically he was no different than anyone else, but zaro k'nachoshotev. But in terms of the way he produced zera, so that was very strong. Okay, the Gemara is just shuffling back and forth from the beginning to the end, to the beginning to the end. So I'm sorry, I should have assigned the homework last night, but you know, we got to go over. Yeah, you have to know the whole story from beginning to end. This is the tail end of Shimshon, where Shimshon is his eyes are gouged by the Plishtim, and they're mocking him. And his last act is to literally bring the house down. So, but before he does so, he petitions HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the pasuk that we just read. So, Amar Shimshon lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam. So he makes the following request: Zechorli esrim shana sheshafatati es Yisrael. So for 20 years I judged the Jewish people. That's the pasuk in the Navi that he judged them for 20 years. So v'lo amarti lecha mehem avarli makami makom la makom, and I never asked anyone to bring my staff from one place to another place. Meaning I never abused my power. 20 years I was a shofet, and I was good. Never abusive of my powers. Shimshon took the foxes. Again, I told you, we're just jumping around. Mm-hmm. We're now in Perek Tes Vav. So he took torches, attached them to the tails of 300 foxes? Okay. Okay, whatever. And they ran around and they lit the Plishtim's field on fire. So, Vayelach Shimshon Velakosh Shmo Shualim, Maishna Shualim, why foxes? Amar Rabbi Ebu Bar Negdi, Amar Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Amar Shimshon Yavo, I'm sorry, Amar Shimshon Yavo, Misha Chosel Acharav, Vayipara Mi Plishtim Shechazru Bishvuasan. You know, foxes retreat. You know, somehow when they walk backwards, and it's a sign, it's a symbol to the Plishtim, just like they retreated on their Shvuah. This could be a reference again to the Shvuah that Avraham made with Avimelech. Tanya Amar Rabbi Shimon Achasi Bank Teifav Shal Shimshon Shishim Amahaya. I know with our athletes today, they measure their wingspan. Right? They want to see how, you know, kind of shot blocker he would be. So regarding Shimshon, the Gemara says it's projected 60 amas, 60 ama wingspan. Shenemar vayishkav Shimshon al chetzi alayla vaykam b'chetzi alayla vayachos b'dolasos shar ha'ir. Again, in the final moment of Shimshon's life, so he brings the house down. So he takes his hand, right hand on one pillar, left hand on the other pillar. And the Gemara says, and we have a tradition. And so we know the distance between one pillar and another pillar on the house of the Plishtim. It's 60 amas apart from one another. So the fact that he was able to reach gives us the wingspan from one arm to the other arm of Shimshon. Vayitochem bebeis asurim. He was in jail. Right after they cut his hair, after they took his strength, so they imprisoned him. Vayitochem bebeis asurim. Now the Navi describes that he was tochein. The word tochein usually means to grind. Am Rabbi Yochanan entkina eloshon avera. So the Gemara says that he was actually doing avera while in jail, meaning as the Gemara is about to tell us that they brought plishtim women to him in jail. V'cheinu omer titachein la'achar ishti. Gemara just quotes a pasuk in Iyov just to show us that the word titachein can be used in this context of avera. Malam shekol echad ve'echad hevi lo ishto lebeis ha'asurim. Everyone brought their wife to the beis ha'asurim kedei shetit avera heimenu. So that he would be impregnated by Shimshon. They wanted his genetic makeup. And so they basically, for lack of a better term, they put him out to stud. Amar Rav Papa Haina Dami Inshi Kami Deshasi Chamra. Chamra. Kami Refuka Grida Duvalo. The Gemara says there's an old expression that was said in Bavel. That somebody who likes wine, you know what you bring him? You bring him wine. All right. Someone who likes vegetables, so you bring him vegetables. Okay, the Gemara doesn't right exactly. In other words, and so they knew what Shimshon liked. Am Rav Yochanan kol mizan ishto mizanenes. I love. Gemara says that a man whose wife is mizana is as a result of the fact that he was mizana. In other words, the way the wife behaves is really just a mirror of how the husband is going to behave. Shenamar im naftali bi alishava al pesach roi arafti. Gemara quotes the pasuk from Iyov. I guess we got here because we previously also quoted the pasuk from Iyov. So the so I was ambushed. V'ksiv titachin la'achar ishti, meaning the. I committed znus, and as a result of that, my wife committed znus as well. V'alai yikurun acheran. V'hainu dami inshi iu beikar v'isla bebutzina. And there's another expression used back in Bavel, which the Gemara tells us is that he enjoys pumpkins, and his wife also enjoys pumpkins as well. It's an expression. Basically, she behaves the same way he does. I'm Rav Yochanan Shimshon Dan Israel Kavim Shebeshamayim. Okay. If you're, by the way, by the end of today, confused about Shimshon, okay, understood. Let's get right. Say he's complex. So I think that's part of the idea of today. So the Vamar of Yochanan Shimshon Dan Yisrael Kavim Shebeshamayim. He judged the Jewish people like Shimshon. Shenemar Dan Yadin Amam Keechad Shiftei Ka. Again, this is going back to the bracha that Yaakov gives Dan, that he's going to judge just like Shiftei Ka. He was named after one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar ki shemeshu magin Hashem Elokim. Salameata lo yimached. The Gemara says, really, the name of Hashem, and if you write Shimshon, you can't erase it. Elamein shemosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says, you're right. Not literally, but it's a figurative way to describe Hashem. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects the entire world, so too Shimshon during his generation protected the Jewish people. Bilam was lame in one leg. Shimshon was lame in two legs. So again, the complexity. We think of him as this great, powerful, strong individual, and meanwhile he had trouble walking. Tana Rabbanu Chamisha Nivru Me'ein Dugma Shamala V'Kulan Laku Bahen. Five people were given unbelievable, extraordinary, gifted abilities, and they were inflicted on that ability. Shimshon B'Kocho, Shimshon as it relates to his strength. Shaul B'Tzavaro, Shaul regarding his neck. He had a very impressive neck. The Navi describes Rashi quotes the pasuk. Vayigbam, reading Rashi. Vayigbam mikol ha'am mishechmo. From the shoulders up, he was just he was unbelievable. So the that's a description of Shaul. Avshalom b'sa'aro. Avshalom with his hair. We already described that back in the Mishnah. Tzidkiyahu be'enav. Tzidkiyahu with his eyes. Excuse me. Asa b'raglav and Asa. With his feet, Shimshon Bekocha, now we're going to go through each one of them. Shimshon Bekocha, Dichsev, Vayisar Kocha Me'alav. His strength was taken away from him. So again, he was given a special gift of strength, which was ultimately removed. Shaul B'Tzarov, Dichsev, Vekach Shaul Asacher, Vayipol Alaha. So Shaul took the sword and he fell on the sword, and in the context of the Gemara, it sounds like he took it to his neck. Avshalom B'Tzarov, Kedibin Lameim Lekaman. As far as Avshalom and his hair, so the Gemara says we'll talk about that later. Stay tuned. Tzidkiyahu be'enav dichsev ve'enet ve'es enet Tzidkiyahu iver. Tzidkiyahu's eyes were gouged out. Asa beraglav. His eyes were gouged out. He was taken by Nebuchadnezzar. What did he do wrong with it? I don't know. And the good news, not good news. I'm in good company. Rashi also admits that he doesn't know. Rashi writes, "Tzidkiyahu be'enav lo yadana min alan dinishtana l'shevach." And also the same thing is true with Asa. Meaning we're going to talk about Asa and his feet. And Rashi says, we don't have it anywhere in Nach where you know what we know they did wrong. Dichsiv rak leizik naso chalas raglo. Only when Asa got older was he unable to walk. Amrav Yuram Rav she'achzaso padagra. And the Gemara says that Asa, as he got older, so he suffered from some sort of foot ailment. Okay, after consultation this morning, it sounds a little bit like gout. But again, I'm not giving a diagnosis. I'm just merely making a suggestion. Amalei marzucha b'ed Rav Nachman, l'Rav Nachman, hechidami padagra, which is an example of padagra, amalei kamacha bebasar. It's like needles in the flesh. I'm sorry, kamacha bebasar achai, like needles in raw flesh. Minayada, so the Gemara says, and how did he know? Meaning Rav Nachman himself is giving a description of what Padagra is, and the Gemara says, and he knew because? So Igadami Mechash Avachash, basically the Gemara gives the simplest answer, and that is, he suffered as well. Igadami Merabi Ishamile, or he learned it from his Rebbe. Vigadami Sarashem Lerav Ubrisolahu Diyam. Or the Gemara says that Tamid Chachamim, it's a tzaddik, and they know things. They just know things. So he knows things. Darish Rav Mimne Manenash Asa. Why was Asa punished? Mimne Asa Angaria B'Tamid Chachamim. So the Gemara says regarding Asa that he used Tamid Chachamim as soldiers. Shenemar V'Amelch Asa Hishmias Kol Yehuda Ein Naki. So he let out a proclamation in all of Yehuda in order to wage war, and nobody was able to dodge the draft. When we say nobody was able to dodge the draft, it meant even a chasam and kala. We know, the Torah tells us, that for the first year, Shana Rishona, so you get a patur, you get an exemption from having to go to the army, but when Asa waged war, so he gave nobody patur. Ksiv, back to Shimshon, Vayirei Shimshon Timnasa. It says that Shimshon went down to Timna, v'ksiv, hinei chamecha al ole Timnasa. And now comparison and contrast between Shimshon and Yehuda. And the first point of demarcation between the two is that Shimshon goes down to Timna and Yehuda goes up to Timna. So where is it geographically? Amar Avalazar Shimshon Shinitganebak Sivbe Yerida. So as far as Shimshon, so he unfortunately misbehaves while going down to Timna. So for him it's Yerida. In other words, the Gemara is basically saying, we're not talking about topography, we're speaking about spiritual elevation, or in Shimshon's case the opposite. Yehuda Shinit Alabak Sivba Aliyah. But Yehuda, on the other hand, is going up to Timna. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar Shtei Timnaos Hayu Chada BeYerida VeChada BeAliyah. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani gives a much less spiritual answer, and he says there are two Timnas, one to go up to and one to go down to. Rav Papa Amar Chada Timna Havai. Rav Papa says that there's really only one Timna, Da'asim HaGisa YerIda VeDa'asim HaGisa Aliyah, and it's on the side of a mountain. And so therefore, sometimes you go up to Timna, and sometimes you go down. It depends where you're coming from. Kigon, Vardunya, Ubebari, Vishukha Dinarish. And the Gemara gives many examples, of which I know none of them. But the Gemara gives many examples of a kind of town where it's situated on the side of a mountain, and sometimes you go down to it, and sometimes you go up. It just depends on where you're coming from. Vatesha Bepesach Einayim. Okay, a description now of Yehuda Tamar. So she sat bePesach Einayim Amar Alexandri Malamish Achav Yashra Lo bePischo Shel Avram Avinu. She sat at the entrance of Avram Avinu Makom Shekol Einayim Tzofos LeRoso, where people go and see her. Rabbi Chanin Amar Rabbi Makom Hu Sheshmo Einayim. It's actually the name of the place. VeChena Omer Tapuch VeHaEinam. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar Shenina Einaha LeDvarim LeDvar. I'm sorry, Einayim LeDvareha. And the last pshat of the Gemara is that she gave eyes, meaning whatever question Yehuda asked her, she gave the correct answer. Kishitava Amar La Shema Nachris At. Now, this dialogue is certainly going to seem strange, but this is a dialogue between Yehuda and the woman that he propositioned. Unbeknownst to him, it was his daughter-in-law. So Shema Nachris At, maybe you are a Nachris Amar La Giyaris Ani. Her response is, no, I'm a convert. The Shema Ishas Isha, maybe you're married. Amrale Penuyani. No, she says no, I'm single. Shema Kibaba Avicha Avich Kedushin, maybe your father accepted Kedushin. Amrale Yisoma Ani. She says no, I'm an orphan.
Shema convert. Why would her father accept Kedushin?
Yeah, I understand. Shema Tamea At. Maybe you're in a time of Anida. Amrale Tahora Ani. She says no, I'm Tahora. Okay. But we're going to come back to Yehuda and Tamar momentarily. He planted an Eshel in Be'er Sheva. This goes back to Avram. Last week's, now I can say this. Last week's Parsha. Planted Eshel in Be'er Sheva. Amar Eshel HaKish Malam Eshel HaSa Pardes Vanata Bo Kol Minei Megadim. So what did Avram do at this point in time? He planted a garden. Hainu Dichzi Vayita. And it makes sense. Even though the Gemara is struggling with the word Eshel. The Gemara doesn't understand the word Eshel, but Vayita certainly means to plant. So the Gemara assumes it's talking about the planting of an orchard. So, Hainu Dichsiv, sorry, Vayita. Elamanda Amar Pundak, sorry, did I skip a little bit? Yes, I did. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nachamia, I'm sorry, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nachamia. Skip the line. I apologize. Charamar Pardes v'charamar Pundak. One says it was a orchard, and the other one says it was a hotel. Bisham Lamanda Amar Pardes Hanidichse Vayita. Thank you. Elamanda Amar Pundak Mai Vayita. So, but if you say that it was a hotel, so how do you understand the word Vayita? Gidichsev Vayita O Aleya Padno. The Gemara says we have a pasuk in Nach, Sefer Daniel, that describes a palace being planted. Vayikra sham b'shem Hashem kel olam. Amar Yish Lakish al tikra vayikra ela top of Yudam Adbeiz vayakri. The Gemara says that perhaps a better way to understand the pasuk is vayakri, that he caused others to say shem Hashem. I know Rabbi Goldberg spoke recently over Yontif. It's not so recent anymore. But anyway, he talked about Hachnasas Orchim being a function of getting others to get being an opportunity to promote Shem Hashem. So it's the Gemara right here in Sota. That's Hachnasas Orchim. Hachnasas Orchim is you basically bring somebody in and you promote Shem Hashem. The Gemara says it. So Elavayakri Malamishi Hikri Avram Avinu L'Shmo Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu Bepeh. So he caused other people to say Shem Hashem. Kola over v'shav keitzad. So the Gemara gives examples. La'achish achlu v'shasu. So look, what he did is he brought people in, fed them, they drank. Amdu levarcho. So they're going to thank Avram Avinu, who was wonderful. Amalem v'chim ishali achaltem ishal okei olam achaltem. Avram Avinu says, it's not my food, it's Hashem's food. So hodu v'shivchu ubarchu. So they praised Hashem. L'misha amar v'haya olam. Okay, so he was able to promote a Kadosh Baruch Hu through the mitzvah of Achnasas Orchim. Vayirei Yehuda v'yichshevel ezona ki kisisa paneha. Okay, now, back to Yehuda, back to Tamar. Now again, by the way, how do we get to Yehuda and Tamar? I know, you really have to like follow the Gemara's, you know, thought process. Right, because of Timna. In other words, we're talking about, we were talking about Shimshon. Shimshon went to Timna. So we know another place in the Chumash where Timna is brought up by Yehuda and Tamar. So it allows the Gemara to springboard to Yehuda and Tamar. So we're going to spend a little bit of time today talking about Yehuda and Tamar. I'm sure everyone's familiar. Just a moment of background. Yehuda marries off his three sons, Er, Onan, and Shelah. Marries off the first son to Tamar. Er marries Tamar. Er dies. Then marries Onan. Onan dies. See the Chumash in the beginning of Perek Lamed Ches for an explanation of why the two of them died. He then tells Shelah, you know what, Shelah, I got a good idea. Why don't you wait? In other words, let's wait before you marry Tamar. And come back to me, I don't know, a year or two, whatever. Take your time. Tamar at that point, at a certain point in time, realizes that Yehuda had no interest in really marrying her off to Shelah. So what Tamar does is she dresses up like a Zona, the Pesach Einaim, we already discussed that previously. And Yehuda's walking there and he solicits her as a Zona. So now the Gemara goes on to explain, Ki kisses up Paneha. Yehuda at that point in time thought that she was a Zona because she covered her face. And the Gemara says, that seems a little ironic. Mishum de kisa panecha shola Zona, because she covered her face, now he thinks that she's a Zona. Right? Don't the way they advertise usually mean that they have to reveal? So Amar Rav Elazar, she kissed up on her beis chamed. The Gemara says no. What the pasuk means is that she previously covered her face, meaning Yehuda literally did not know what Tamar looked like because she was so modest. Amar Shmuel bar Nachman, Amar Rav Yochanan Kolkala, she eats nua beis chamed zoch v'yotzi mimenu malachim v'neviim. And the Gemara says that in terms of an object lesson for us, is that when you have someone who behaves in such a snua manner, so what comes out from them are kings and prophets. Minala mi Tamar, the Gemara says we know from Tamar. Neviim dichtiv chazon Yishayo ben Amos. And we know, first of all, that she was the matriarch of prophets. We know that Yishayahu was the son of Amos. We know that they come from Shevet Yehuda, a descendant of Tamar. Malachim, mi David. Now, as far as kings are concerned, well, the Gemara says that's easy. In other words, we know that she was a progenitor. She was a matriarch of David HaMelech.
You would have had another son that could have been the progenitor.
Could be.
No?
It could be.
So why is it Tamar?
I mean, it's part of the Masorah that that's so. The two sons that Peretz and Zerach that come out. So Rashi brings down, meaning we have a Masorah that it's that's Tamar. Amar Abalevi Davar Zem Masorah Biadinim Avasenu Amos VaAmatzi Achim Havu. And the Gemara says, and oh, by the way, Amos and Amatzi are brothers. Now Amos we just saw, that's the father of Yishayahu. Amatzi was one of the Malchi Yehuda, one of the kings of Yehuda. It's just the Gemara making another point that we know that Tamar was the matriarch of both kings and prophets. He mutseis. Where I'm looking at the Navi, and I'm realizing I'm going to the wrong location. This is back. This is still in Parshas Vayeshev. This is still now by Yehuda and Tamar. She's being taken out. The Gemara goes on to explain. He mitotseis mi ba'elei. Grammatically, the Torah should have said mitotseis, meaning she's being extracted. So she's being forced against her will. The word motseis sounds like she found something. What does that mean? Amar v'lazel la'achas nimtzu simaneha. She found the simanim. Meaning, again, just a little bit of background, which I'm sure you already knew. But when Yehuda propositioned the Zona, again, the Zona was Tamar. So she said, okay, but let's make the financial arrangements right now. So he says, oh, that's a good point. He says, I don't have anything on me right now. I'm cash poor. So she says back to him, okay, so how about this? Give me some sort of collateral. I'll hold the collateral, and then you come back and you'll pay me. Fine. So he gave her the staff, the signet ring, and there was a third item as well.
The cloak.
Okay, good. Very good. Okay, like I said, everyone knows. So he gave her three things, and then when he came back there to pay, and she wasn't there. He asked everyone, "Do you know what? Anyone know the Zona here?" And they all look at him, there is no Zona here. I don't know what were you talking about. Okay. So now, when 3 months later, when she's discovered to be pregnant, and he didn't know that he was the one who impregnated her, so he's looking now to burn her. See Rashi on Chumash, see the Ramban on Chumash, in terms of what it seems to be a very harsh judgment for her. The Mefarshim and Chumash are bothered by that. So anyway, so he takes her out to be burnt, and so what she's going to do to protect herself is basically say, well, what she didn't do, which the Gemara is going to point out momentarily, is she didn't just simply say, hey, you're the father. She didn't do that, which the Gemara is going to point out momentarily. But what she did do is she just simply, the collateralized items that were deposited by her, she showed them. But what the Gemara now is telling us is that there's a little bit more to the story, and that is that originally she didn't know where they were. She didn't know where the staff was, she didn't know where the ring was, she didn't know where the cloak was, and that's what the Gemara is telling us right now. So the Malach Samael takes the Simanim and moves them away from her. By Gavriel the Korvan. And Gavriel comes and he takes the Simanim and moves them closer to her. Now exactly what the Gemara is trying to intimate to us, I don't know. Meaning, obviously, the Gemara is trying to introduce a novel ideal over here. I understand it fits now better with the pshat of the Gemara, because the pshat of the Chumash. I mean, because the Chumash says he mutseis, right? She finds something. What is she finding? So now, based on this little extra wrinkle in the story, so now we understand pshat in the Chumash. Sorry. Haynu dichsiv lametzech al Yonath ilaim. Rechokim leDavid mechtam, and the Gemara says, and now you understand pshat in the pasuk in Tehillim, how something was originally found was far from her, and then it became close to her. Amar Rav Yochanan Mishash Nisrachu Simaneh Anasis Ki Yonas Ilemes. When the items were distanced from her, meaning because her whole strategy was that she was going to show the items in order to defend herself, but as we just learned, Samael took the items and moved them far away from her. She was like Yona Ilemish. She was mute. She couldn't talk, meaning she had no defense for herself. And continuing in this pasuk in Tehillim, the Michtam LeDavid. It's a reference to how eventually she becomes the grand matriarch of David, who was Mach V'tam. Mach we just described in length means that he was humble and Tam he was simple. L'chol Davar. Acher mechtam shaisa machto tamam kishenola kishumal. And another drasha the Gemara says is that he was also machto tama. He was perfected, meaning that when he came out already circumcised. Davar acher machto kishem shepekat nusso iktinatzmo itzol mishigadol mimeno lomotar kach b'duaso. And the Gemara says one other thing regarding David HaMelech, and that was he always was interested in learning. When he didn't know something, he was interested in learning, and even when he did know, and he was this great posek, he was still always interested in learning, and he minimized himself in order to learn by others. Vishachal chameha. Sorry, let's just do a little bit more for this morning. She was sent vishachal chameha lemor leisha sher eila lo anochi hara. She sends to her father-in-law the collateralized items, and she says, "Do you recognize these items?" V'temalei meimar. The Gemara asks now the obvious question. She knows that her father-in-law impregnated her. So why doesn't she just say something? Why didn't she just simply say it out? Amar Marzucha Bartuvia Amarav Amrila Amarav Abba Brabizni Amarabi Shimon Chasidav Amrila Amarab Yochan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai Nochlaladim Shapilat Molotok Kivshana Eshval Yabim Pene Chavero Birabim. Be better for a person to allow themselves to be burnt rather than public embarrassment. Minalan mi Tamar. And the Gemara says we know that from Tamar. The question that is asked by the Mepharshim over here, as you could see the top Tosfos who raises this issue, and that is that she was ready to give up her life rather than publicly embarrass somebody. And right in Yadus, we only give up our lives for one of three things, this not being one of them. Ritzicha, Gilu Arayus, and Shvichas Damim. What I just do? Sorry, I saw what I just did. Right, thank you. Ritzicha, Gilu Arayus, Avodah Zarah. Okay, so the big three, and this is not one of them. Tosfos says something over here, which is a big chiddush. You see Tosfos over here? So he says, look at the end of the Tosfos, where he asks this question. Tosfos writes that not publicly embarrassing somebody is not explicitly mentioned in the Torah. So lo nakad ella aversam ufurashos. The big three are only those that are written in the Chumash. But there are others out there, like public embarrassment. It's not written in the Chumash, and that's why it's not counted in the list of three. But it's also something that you should give up your life for. The Rabbeinu Yonah, on his Perush of Pirkei Avos, writes that that habanus penei chaver berabim, public embarrassment, is tantamount to murder. He uses a lashon over there of av and tolada, right? Main category, subcategory. He writes over there that public embarrassment is a tolada, it's a subcategory of shvichas damim. And you're supposed to give up your life not in order, if murder is that issue over here, if you have to kill somebody, you give up your life. Public embarrassment is a tolada of shvichas damim, and that's how he includes it in the big, it is part of the big three. It's a tolada, it's a subcategory of the big three. We'll pause over here. Tomorrow we pick it up from where we left off.